From WTIP News, this is the North Shore Weekend News Roundup. I'm Jay Anderson, and here are some of the stories we've been following this week. A group of Ely business owners is preparing to open an action center on the city's main street to stir up opposition to copper-nickel mining. The Duluth News Tribune reports a fundraiser last week for the new Sustainable Ely Center drew 65 people. Organizers say the risk of environmental damage to the Boundary Waters canoe area isn't worth the promised jobs and economic boost. Sustainable Ely is expected to open about the 24th of May, just in time for the summer influx of cabin owners, anglers, and canoe campers headed to the Boundary Waters. Organizers are hoping for 25,000 visitors this summer. Bob McFarlane, a spokesman for the proposed Twin Metals mine near Ely, vows the BWCA won't be harmed and says the project has strong support in the area. There's a sign of hope for Minnesotans tired of winter. All trails in Voyageurs National Park in far northern Minnesota have closed for the season because of warm weather. Park officials have said this week that trails have deteriorated into poor condition. All snowmobile trails, ski trails, and snowshoe trails in the park are now closed. The park staff is removing snowmobile trail markers and thin ice signs. No travel is recommended on lake surfaces because of worsening ice conditions and patches of open water. Snow is expected to delay the opening of campgrounds and recreational trails in northern Wisconsin's Shawamakan-Nicolet National Forest. Officials say much of the forest's 1.5 million acres have had more snow than normal. Recreational trails across the forest also will open later than usual. Top officials of Cliffs Natural Resources said they have successfully completed a 2-week, full-scale production of a new kind of taconite pellet that can be used to make directly reduced iron and steel. The Duluth News Tribune reports the tests conducted at North Shore Mining in Silver Bay produced 30,000 tons of DR-grade low-silica pellets that can eventually be made into steel in electric arc mini-mill furnaces. Traditional taconite pellets historically have only been used in larger blast furnaces. The company said last year it was experimenting at both North Shore and United Taconite in Eveleth to test DR-grade pellets. It now appears they are leaning toward North Shore, saying that they were more easily available to convert one or more of that plant's traditional taconite furnaces, which were idled last year when the company lost a major U.S. consumer. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service will apply lampricides to the Nemadji and Arrowhead Rivers in Carlton, Cook, and Douglas counties to kill sea lamprey larvae burrowed in the stream bottoms. Applications will be conducted early May. Sea lamprey larvae live in certain Great Lakes tributaries and transform to parasitic adults that migrate to the Great Lakes and kill fish. Failure to kill the larvae in streams would result in significant damage to the Great Lakes fishery. Infested tributaries are treated every 3 to 5 years with lampricides to control sea lamprey populations. Well, no one liked it, and it was called dead on arrival a month ago, but just to make sure, several Iron Range lawmakers this week took steps to formally kill the western reroute option for U.S. Highway 53 in Virginia. The Duluth News Tribune reports Senator David Tomasoni of Chisholm added an amendment killing the west option onto the Senate Omnibus Transportation Bill that passed on Tuesday of this week. State Representative Jason Metza of Virginia said he will add the amendment to the House version scheduled for a vote later this week. The western route would have taken motorists around dozens of businesses and bypassed Eveleth and Virginia altogether. Highway 53 has to be rerouted through Eveleth and Virginia because Cliffs Natural Resources gave notice in 2010 that it would terminate its easement for the road in May of 2017. MnDOT must have a new road open by then. Cliffs wants to mine taconite iron ore under the road's current location, and because of a 1960 easement negotiated between the state and the previous owner of the mineral rights, the state apparently doesn't have the option to say no. Some local officials have suggested using the state's right of eminent domain to acquire land from Cliffs for the highway. MnDOT officials said that would be the last option if no other alternatives were workable. On Thursday, the Minnesota House of Representatives passed the Higher Education Omnibus Bill by a 84-44 vote. The bill provides a $150 million funding increase for higher education, the first funding increase in 8 years. It also freezes tuition at both the University of Minnesota and the Minnesota State Colleges and University System. District 3A Representative David Dill said the bill gives more families a shot at being able to afford a college education.
We're actually doing something for students to get their tuition leveled out, in fact, frozen now for the next 2 years. Now, that costs money, and somebody has to pay, but it won't be the kids. And the idea is to get kids through college with no or less student debt. It's really high importance because, for example, in International Falls or Ely, I hear kids telling me all the time about their student debt. We also put into play here in this bill some much, much more stringent accountability requirements for the university system and for the Minnesota College system, which would be Ely and Rainy River, for their budgeting practice, and explaining to us how they just can't come in anymore and say, well, we need $22 million, and we just hand them over $22 million. I mean, we want to know what it's, quoting the president, we'll go over it line by line, piece by, you know, page by page. And those are really some important things. And I'm really encouraged. It's been 11 long years that I've been here since I saw any progress toward this. And tuition has just gone into orbit in those 10, 11 years. Kids are suffering. Families are suffering. And this is the first time in a long time that I feel good about we're doing something.
The bill also includes new reforms to expand the oversight function of the legislature. The authors of the bill spent many hours studying the dramatic increase in student tuition, fees, and debt over the past 6 years, examined student-to-faculty ratios, and scrutinized administrative costs and trends over the past decade. The product of that work can be seen in new reforms that were drafted in consultation with the Office of Legislative Auditor to expand the oversight function of the legislature to better hold the U of M and Minsky accountable for the money they are spending. You've been listening to the North Shore Weekend News Wrap-Up. To hear more from the WTIP News team and to check out the full versions of our stories, visit us at WTIP.org. For North Shore Community Radio, I'm Jay Anderson, wishing you a great weekend.